Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, good to be with you on a Football Friday. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, joined in studio right now by our good friend, the Houston Chronicle's own, and part of our team here at Sports Radio 610, Brooks Cabina, covers the Houston Texans. So Brooks, a lot of the talk this week is centered around the environment around the stadium on Sunday this week. What are you anticipating? Like, if you, in your mind's eye, what does Sunday look like as we lead up to kickoff in that game?
Well, just by the way that the season has gone so far, I don't anticipate we'll see as much turnout as we have with other games. I think we'll see a scenario where, you know, before the season began, there was still a lot of Watson jerseys around. And I'm sure there'll be some mixed feelings about where the fans are in this. The Browns are a team that, you know, the last couple of years, when I went to Cleveland last year, the fan base has been ignited by competitiveness. I think they travel too. You know, it'll be a situation where, you know, obviously Watson, 700 days after leaving NRG Stadium, coming back. And Tony Busby has said that, you know, up to 10 of the women who accused him of sexual assault will be in a suite there. So it's going to be a different kind of environment.
You know, there's a part of me that it's not a small part either. I'm kind of glad that this is going to be a sparsely attended football game, because honestly, and I know you've had to deal with this, when you take a very serious issue like sexual misconduct or sexual assault and then combine it with something that's supposed to be a fun recreational activity, which is football, and like, and merge those two worlds, there's a lot of things that get kind of tacky when it starts to be fan bases arguing with other fan bases or people defending their favorite athlete or not. And I feel like if this were a packed house, like, there could be a lot of situations, like confrontational situations, that that I'd just rather not see. And I think it'll be better because of that. I think if you sensed, Brooks, in just the feedback you get from readers on the Chronicle or anything else, kind of how the tide has shifted over time with this, with the sentiment towards Deshaun?
No, I just in emails that I've received, it's been pretty consistent. I mean, with the stories that I've written, I mean, I arrived in Houston in July of 2021, so in the middle of the legal process. So from there to the point of Deshaun being traded and up to this point, you know, the feedback has been pretty consistent. You know, this week on Thursday, I published a story about sexual assault reform in Texas and the changes that the NFL is looking to make in their policy, because it was highly criticized by the judge they appointed to look over the case. So a lot of this has also been the emails and the feedback that I've gotten are people, and you mentioned this, you know, people who come into the stadium who are normally looking to watch football. There's been an educational process in this too, to understand the complexity of sexual assault litigation and how the process works in Texas, which really set the background and how this played out and why the Cleveland Browns felt comfortable enough to make their decision. So all of that comes together, and when you have a large crowd of people coming in with lack of information, and you know, the charge of a fan base, you know, that can be a tricky combination.
Okay, so to the football part of this, we know Lovie Smith is under fire right now, and the last couple post game press conferences have not gone well for him. He's come in on Monday and done better in those Monday press conferences, but not significantly so. And more importantly, the team has looked completely overmatched for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Does this game carry added significance because of who the opponent is and the potential for what could happen on Sunday for Lovie Smith?
I don't think so. This is a team that's being judged by its own merit. I do think just individually, the McNair family watching Deshaun Watson play in this game, and if he wins, and you know it go that can be more of a perception that plays into how your team's perceived by your own fan base. So that's more beyond Lovie Smith and the team. There are six players on the team left who played with Deshaun. Mm-hmm. So Lovie Smith was just a defensive coordinator last year whenever Deshaun Watson was just in the background. So the connection that this team has to Watson himself is very minimal. It's a team that's really young and trying to figure out its own problems. And honestly, if we're talking straight up football, the biggest thing that the Texans have a problem with on the field is Nick Chubb, just because they haven't been able to play the run defense all year. And who knows how this offense is going to change with Watson in the mix now. I mean, I don't think it's going to be the same as watching Jacoby Brissett in this game. I think they probably prepared for what Watson can do differently. So how the last couple of games, the Texans being outscored 50-0 in the first half, that just can't happen.
It's unacceptable.
With the team going forward. I mean, the main things Lovie Smith has to prove is that they are progressing, not necessarily winning, but showing progress and competitiveness through the remainder of these six games. And, I mean, if you look offensively, the Browns, even though they have Myles Garrett on the edge, they've been susceptible to the run.
Oh, yeah, big
like,
time, yeah.
They've given up 200 yards rushing this year. And if Pep Hamilton's going to have any confidence, or if Lovie Smith's going to have any confidence in anybody else in the organization, this is one that you should be in the game with. Yep. This is a game that they even could win. And when you look at how they they can have some success in the run game, which then plays into everything else in their offense. So it'll be interesting to see how Kyle Allen plays in his second game. And if they win, that does go a long way towards whether Lovie Smith returns in 2023.
Brooks, I've kind of downplayed the notion that Deshaun might have a ton of rust, just because I think the Browns will lean on the run game here. I think back to the Jacksonville preseason performance by Deshaun, where he had a rough go of it, like a really did not look. He looked rusty, frankly. Am I underselling the rust factor?
I don't think so. It's been a long time since he's been practicing for a while. I agree with you in the sense that they can lean on the run game. And so far, the Texans have proven that whenever a team can establish that, the quarterback has a really easy time. And, you know, Watson, with the talent that he has, I think he's going to have plenty of support in that way. I mean, it's interesting when you look at the Texans, whenever he was playing there, sometimes they had a lack of run game, and he was still able to produce for the team. And then whenever they did have it, I mean, then that's the football excitement that people have with the Browns, the combination of that. I just the way that quarterbacks have been carving up the defense when they are just frankly not good in zone coverage, just a lot of wide open receivers. I think he's going to fit in just fine in this first game.
What we're talking to Brooks Cabina, Houston Chronicle, covers the Houston Texans, joins us every Friday at this time. What percentage of your time covering the Texans right now do you spend actually looking at Bryce Young and CJ Stroud highlights?
Not much. There's a lot just to watch with the Texans. I mean, right now, you think about the draft picks that they have. Just watching Christian Harris improve over the last 3 weeks, I think that's something that's not maybe not talked about enough. I mean, he did struggle coming in. I mean, he was, I think Pro Football Focus had his missed tackle rate was in the top five amongst linebackers in his first three starts.
Early on, yeah.
He's reduced it from 33% down to 5%, and he's like in the upper quartile of linebackers right now. So it's going to be a big deal whether he plays or not on Sunday. So those are kind of the things that I've been looking at. I mean, Derek Stingley being out in this game also is big. He's going to possibly miss his third game. I say that just because he hasn't practiced all week, and that's the same projection. So, I mean, you look at the number one overall pick right now and the way that the quarterback position is being played, that projects towards a replacement. The number one overall pick, is that worth Bryce Young? Is it worth C.J. Stroud? I mean, the conversation, I mean, we'll have a long, long time before that, and I'll have a lot more time to dig into it. But, I mean, it just seems interesting that the ebb and flow of the value of the quarterback. I mean, it seemed like 2 months ago everybody was all in on Bryce Young, and then it seems like, oh, now he's tiny. Like, the guy is incredibly talented.
He's really
good. The Texans
good, yeah.
need a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, if you have that opportunity, you got to take it. And, I mean, by the time we get to the draft, I'm sure maybe my own opinion will ebb and flow. But at this point, like, I don't understand why you would go for any other position.
I understand you not spending a lot of time on it right now. When the time comes, are you a mock draft simulation guy?
I hate mock drafts. Just because
you hate mock drafts?
Just because they make me look dumb later.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I can focus
you gotta get
on
over that.
Look, one team, I can guess what the Texans do, and then I guessed, and I was picking offensive linemen. So then I looked like an idiot afterward because, I mean, all that factored into whether Tytus Howard was going to get his fifth year picked up, and then that's what they did, and then they picked a cornerback. So I didn't, and I covered Derek Stingley. So I don't know. I'm an idiot.
You like being right.
I like being.
You're
right.
Never going to make it in this business if you like being right all the time.
The hard thing about that, yeah, you're going to get criticized by a lot of people that don't understand the folly of a mock draft and or just talent projection in general. Because everybody, when they first start off on it, they all feel like, oh, no, I see the way things are done. And I remember every time I was right about somebody. So you guys are all idiots.
I got the first two picks right, and then the rest on were, like, wrong completely. Because, you know,
welcome to the club.
The way that I wanted to do it was at least understand how Nick Caserio did a draft board. Yeah. I did a whole project on that. So then, like, I at least understood what he was doing and why they did it. Because then, you know, 10, 11, 12, they all go wide receivers. And I could, like, maybe see how Nick Caserio, even though he didn't say it whenever I asked him later, and all of them are like, dang it. And then they trade back. You know, like, okay, well, that influences things.
Yeah.
And like, what are you planning to do? And now that they have the number one overall pick instead of the number three pick, that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. No doubt about it. So what else you got going on the in the Chronicle? You mentioned your article that you have about the legal reform.
That article is really good. You laid out kind of what the actual definitions of sexual assault are in a way that I, like, honestly, with all the writing that's been done about this, I think you laid it out better to kind of explain to people how the process actually looked compared to what your conception of what it might look.
Right. What I wanted to accomplish with that is to set an understanding of why things laid out and why things are still ongoing into addressing the issues of sexual assault litigation. And, I mean, in the upcoming legislative session, it's going to be a major topic, and there are a couple of things to kind of point toward. I mean, when you look at the Texas statute, not to get too huge into the weeds, but the way they define sexual assault, there are 14 statutes that say this is what it isn't, and there are like occupations in that. And I've talked to several state senators and representatives, and they're all like, it's just, it becomes weedy, you know, when, you know, there's occupations that people can exploit, like doctors or trainers or whatever, but there's not, like, I wrote it in the story, it's like, there's not NFL quarterback, there's not professional athlete, you can't just keep listing occupations.
Yeah.
And at the end, there's going to be a large discussion upcoming about whether they should flip that entirely and say, this is what consent is, which the NFL was criticized for not really addressing in their own policy, which they kind of do to be more flexible in their own decisions so that they can make decisions however they want, which is going to get pressed by the NFLPA, which happens. So, I mean, all of that's going to come up in this situation again, and it's Sunday's going to ignite a lot of that conversation. One of the main things through this, too, is like, it's about what... in the situation, the Browns made a choice, and they looked at all of the things that are addressed in that story. They know the relationship between criminal law and civil law, and what whenever someone's indicted or goes through that process, and what that brings, and when it's just civil cases, and the private companies they address things in that way too. So all of it. I mean, it's a 3,000-word story that I pulled an all-nighter writing for, and I don't know if I can really explain it in 5 minutes. But,
well, it's a tease. You can just tease the story and tell people to go click on it. That's all you got to do.
Chronicle.com, and hopefully it brings a lot of clarity to the situation that's going on.
All right, good stuff, and obviously coverage of the game and everything surrounding that from the great Brooks Cabina joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Brooks, get out to practice, man.
Yeah. Now they've got it at 9 o'clock. I used to be able to just drive in at 8.
Well, go get some kolaches and sit and reflect for a little while
I think that might be a good idea.
Yes, indeed. All right. Brooks Cabina joining us in the studio. Thanks, Brooks. We will talk to you soon. And as always, we enjoy the coverage.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.